manifest your presence, your glory. Just go ahead and heal bodies right now. If you're sick in body, you got injury, got a report from a doctor that you just don't want to carry around anymore, just be healed in the name of Jesus. Father, we believe that your stripes are sufficient. They're more than sufficient, God, so just go ahead and do it right now. Father, heal hearts and minds, mend families in the name of Jesus. Father, supply physical needs financially. Lord, there's going to be new jobs that are going to come in this week. Businesses will expand. Cupboards will be full of food, Lord. Those that are empty right now, they'll be full of food by this time tomorrow. That's how big of a God you are. Father, we call in the lost. If there's one today that just has never made that commitment to you, reveal yourself right now. Right now, Holy Spirit, just wrap your arms around them. Whisper into them the love that sent you to a cross that sets us free from sin and our past. So just do that right now, Jesus. And we'll be careful to give you praise. Give me clarity today as I speak and open our hearts to hear from the throne. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go ahead and give God praise, church. Thank you. Worship team, you can be seated. God bless your heart. We've got a very special guest with us today. I want to, Pastor, I can't say his last name. I'll just let him tell you his last name. But Pastor Ronald from Uganda is in the U.S. He's traveling these parts. I met him several weeks ago at a Faith Training Christian Academy chapel in here. And he's actually going to do our sanctuary class this Wednesday night. But I will ask you if you'll just come up and tell us who you are, Pastor. And, you can give us a preview. We're very mission-minded here at Family Worship Center. Man, I love the fact that you are here. And our kids loved him, so I'm looking forward to Wednesday night.
Thank you so much. The presence of the Lord is in this place. So I just want to thank God for his presence in this place. Thank you, Pastor Mike, for allowing me to be here. Thank you, the leaders and the ministers of Family Worship Center, the staff of Faith Training Academy. My friends, Jimmy and Jessica, we have been friends for several years, and they are our sponsors. I'm Ronald Santam. I come from Uganda, East Africa. I'm married. God has blessed us with 6 biological children back in Uganda. My wife, Jacqueline, sends greetings. He knows that I will be in this place. I come from where the HIV/AIDS started. I'm going to use only 3 minutes because I want to give time to the pastor. From where the HIV and the AIDS started. Most of you have heard of AIDS. It started in my community in the 1980s. It killed a lot of people. Because of HIV and the AIDS, in my house, I have over 17 to 22 people. Because of HIV and the AIDS, we started a school 7 years ago for the orphans and the vulnerable children. We started with 9 children. We have now 385 children in our school. Because of the HIV and the AIDS, people were hopeless, and many children have never gone to school. But because of Jesus, he called me back to go back in my community and help my community. Because of Jesus, I survived. Because of Jesus, we started a church. Because of Jesus, we started a school. Because of Jesus, we have hope in our community. Amen. Jimmy and Jessica have been our partners for some years. We have some of the photos behind. You can feel free to sponsor a child. In Uganda, there is no free education like here. You can sponsor a child. You can buy some items. Most of them are made from our ladies from my church. We sell them, and all the money goes back to the ministry. I'll be here on Wednesday. I'll tell you more about my story. It's not all about HIV and AIDS. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is doing such a great work back in Uganda. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pastor. So come out Wednesday. We're looking forward to Pastor being with us. You know, if we don't reach out, Jesus said to go into all of the world. Now, I'm very concerned about Leesville. We spend a lot of time and effort right here in the 4 or 5 blocks surrounding this church. You guys know that. I want this whole community surrounding 601 East Mechanic Street to be in this sanctuary. But I believe that God's plan in order to bless that is that we talk about Uganda and Canada and China and all the other places that He gives us opportunity to minister to. So, Romans chapter 8 is where I told you to turn. I just want to jump right into the Word today. And I thank all of our announcements. Again, thank everybody for all you've done this past weekend. Men's Fishing Retreat, sign up for that. We have a good time. Today, I'm going to talk to you about the subject, Designed to Conquer. And I really want you to get that you are designed to conquer. It's just going to be a real practical teaching today. As we move farther and farther away from January, you know, January is just a good time for the church, most churches. We go 21 days of prayer and fasting, and you guys took part in that. And during that time, the Lord speaks things into you, and you make some promises to God, and you make some promises to yourself. But inevitably, what always happens is the farther we get into the year, it's easy just to kind of fall back into the same old groove that we've always been in, those same old habits that we've tried to lay down, the same old strongholds that we've been battling for years. You know, we make that those big proclamations to the Lord. This year is going to be different than all the years past. This year I'm finally going to overcome. This year is going to be successful. This year everything's going to be straightened out. And can I tell you that this year all of that stuff's going to happen for you? Amen. This year it is going to happen. So, you know, we're our habitation is our theme, and habitation as a noun, remember, is simply a dwelling place. This building is a habitation. My house across the parking lot, Richard and Margie, your homes, is a habitation that we live in. But we're not looking for habitation as just a noun or a structure. We want the habitation as a verb, to where God takes up residence among us. And today we're going to take that a step further and not talk about just among us, but Jesus Christ lives inside of you. You got a conqueror that lives inside of you. And that's going to be very important to get. If you'll get that first point, and I'll explain it, you'll get the rest of what I want to show you or teach you today. But God is good. And this as I thought about the direction I was going to go, and I'm always a few weeks ahead, and looking at this last week when I was up in Kentucky, I got a recall notice in the mail on my truck, on my pickup. Now, I drive a 2005 Dodge Dakota. It's a really, really good truck. I'm thankful for it. That thing's 13 years old, and I got just now getting a recall notice 13 years later that there was a design flaw, and I don't even remember one of the systems, the airbag or some kind of module leading up to the airbag. So apparently I can drive down the road and the airbag just deploy at any time. I'm going to have to take it in. But 13 years after that thing was made, I'm getting a recall notice that the engineers, the humans that designed that thing, no matter, you know, some of the smartest people that our country has to offer, I guess, they didn't get it right. And so my truck is being recalled. And make the leap to, I say that to, so it'll stick in your mind today. A lot of us in here may feel like we need a life recall, that for years we've kind of went along with these design flaws or defects always reoccurring in our life. And can I tell you, that's not so. That's not true at all. No matter how hard man tries to give us a good product in a truck or what have you, there's always going to be the opportunities there for there always to be some kind of flaw or glitch or bug in the system. But that's not true when God takes up residence in your life. Church, I want you to know something, that you are designed by God to really live a life of significance. Not just the mundane life, not just a boring life, not a life that you're constantly dealing with strongholds and defeats and habits that want to hold you back from God's best, addictions in your life that you just can't seem to shake. God wants you to be free of that stuff. He's got a life. His design for you is complete and total liberty, complete and total freedom, complete being free from condemnation and worry and anxiety. Just all this stuff that just happens in our spirit and our emotions and our body. Jesus Christ overcame all of that. Amen. As a matter of fact, Jesus made a statement. I think it's in John 14, down around chapter 6 or verse 6 somewhere. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father but through me. I'm the way, the truth, and I am what? I am the life. I am the path that leads to life." Okay, now we always, and really in the context that was said there, Jesus was meaning that he is our only path to heaven. But it goes deeper than that. If you have a relationship with Jesus and Jesus lives not only with you but inside you, he wants you to have that life that's free of all that stuff I just said. He goes on to say in that verse, if you know me, you have actually known the Father. And if you see me, and I'm paraphrasing now, you just keep your eyes on me, and your this relationship with God the Father will deepen through Jesus Christ. So the God of the Old Testament, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, man, that three-person, three-part triune God lives for us, lives with us, intercedes for us, and takes up residence inside of you and I. So that is the introduction to what I want to talk to you about today. Romans chapter 8, verse 35, it's all through Jesus. This significant life begins in relationship with him. It's not through self-help and education and your job or your career. It's not through community involvement, not through any of that stuff. All of that's good, and God has a plan for that. But the true significance of your life starts in your relationship with Jesus. And that's what we're going to see in Romans chapter 8. Paul writes in verse 35 on the screen, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Now stop right there. Let me explain what's happening here. This is a passage of Scripture that many of you have read several times. What can separate us from the active love of Christ? That word there, as many of you know, many words in the Greek language that was translated to the English word love. This one just happens to be agape. Not going to give you a big Greek lesson today, but this is an active love. So what Paul is telling us is that what Jesus done for you, speaking of the cross, speaking of the stripes that he bore, speaking of the pain and the suffering both physically and emotionally that he felt in that beating leading up to the crucifixion itself, and the total feeling of abandonment from his Father getting put in the grave after his death, but raising again, it is that active love is what Paul's making reference to here. That absolutely nobody, nothing can separate you from what Jesus done for you. Now, let me just take that one step further so I make sure you understand where I want to go with this. I can have love for Tarina and never act on it. I could have never asked her to be my bride. I could have never cooked her breakfast in bed. I could have never taken her on a holiday. I could have loved her from a distance and never really expressed that in some way. But we as husbands or wives, we are active in the lives of our spouses or active in the lives of our kids. So this agape, this love that God has for us, again, it's not a thing in the way that it's just a noun, but God actively put his love into motion through the person of Jesus Christ. Now that's the whole basis of everything we believe. Amen? So, nothing can separate you from what Jesus has done for you. And then he goes on to list some things. If the word who shall, and I think the New Living Translation says nothing there, but if you don't get it, he lists seven things here. Shall trouble or hardship, persecution or famine, nakedness, danger or sword, lists seven things. And if those seven things don't apply to you, there's some other hang up that maybe you think separating you from the love of God. When we get down here to verse 38 and 39, he gives us another list that encapsulates everything. As it is written, he quotes Psalm 44 here, "For your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to the slaughter." No, in all of these things, all of the hardship and the persecution and the trouble and the famine and the nakedness and the danger and the sword, in all of these things, you and I are more than conquerors. Now, I'm going to explain this, that this is going to be our key right here. You are more than conquerors. That word, more, are three words, more than conquerors. That is actually one word in the original text. We had to break it down into three words in the English language. What that means is those two words, the first word was hyper. Okay, you are hyper. We all know what hyper means. Tarina tells me that I'm hyper. I've got all kinds of nervous energy in my life, I guess, at least according to her. When my eyes fly open in the morning, I'm up out of bed. Whether if I wake up at 3 a.m., it might as well be 4 p.m. I'm just a ball of energy, and it drives her absolutely insane. Men, how many of y'all, just by a show of hands and not to start fights after church, but how many of y'all have been accused of just breathing too loud? Hallelujah. I thought I was the only one, man. I mean, we'll be sitting there and Tarina will look at me and say, "Why are you breathing so loud?" I said, "Just to live, baby. That's how my body works." But that's part of my hyperness. It gets on her nerves. So more than conquerors, that phrase there, hyper victorious, is what it means. We all know what victory means. That means you overcome. That means you win. Let me let you in on a little secret. With Jesus inside of you, there is absolutely no defeat in your life. Now, we view victory and defeat most of the time by the world's standards, but by God's standards, through what Jesus done for you, there is not a battle, a demon in hell that can come against you, which will not be defeated. So hyper victorious, more than conquerors, what Paul is telling us there is that we are to live a life with such victory that it gets on other people's nerves. That it gets on, you are to breathe so loud, be so victorious that your workmates don't like you. It gets on their nerves because you are so blessed. I'm telling you the truth today. If the church has to be blessed and set free before we can be the church that the world needs to be. So you are hyper victorious in your life. Of course, you will agree, we haven't necessarily walked that out, and so that's what we're going to talk about today. God's plan for you isn't one of just barely surviving, just getting by. His plan for you isn't one of just the occasional victory, but total victory. Most Christians
Most of us in here, just let me make it real personal. Most of us in here, a lot of times we go through life defeated by those habits and those addictions and those problems and strongholds. And we try again and again and again, trying to break free from those things. It might not be a salvation issue. I'm just talking about things that hold you back from the significant, great life that God has for you. God's desire for you is so much more than what we're living out. So through him, back to the text, through him who loved us, through Jesus who went to the cross for us, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, and here's another list here, death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers. Okay, and he throws that in there just in case none of the other things apply to you. Pastor Mike, I'm not being persecuted. I'm not necessarily in trouble, maybe the way the Bible mentions trouble. So Paul goes in and says, or any power, anything that's bothering you, anything that's holding back. So this sermon's for everybody. Whether you've got big problems, bad problems, whether you've got imaginary problems, very real problems, whether you breathe loud or don't breathe at all, Jesus is going to help you today. Nor any powers, whether you're married to them or not, hallelujah, any powers can't steal away. Boy, I tell you what, I like preaching when Tarina's not here. Neither, I don't, please, she gonna listen to it on the internet, so give me, it takes Gail at least a week to get it up. Don't nobody tell her before she listens to it. I love my wife, and she needs prayer too, by the way. Neither height, it's the new microphone. I'm gonna move on. Neither height nor depth, nor anything else. Everybody say anything else. Say anything else. Okay. Again, I've said it three times now, or this will be the third time. There's nothing that the conqueror that lives inside of you has not already overcome. So we're going to find out how to let that live out. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Three things the Bible teaches about being victorious. The first one's what I already gave you. First point I want you to get is that there is a conqueror that lives inside of you. Now, I hope you take notes. If you're like me, I took notes my whole life, and I take a note and maybe never look at it again. So I want you to get that. If you don't, that's the main point that I want you walking out of here remembering today, is that conqueror lives inside of you. Now, I'm thankful Jesus is here today. Every week, you'll see that the pattern for me is that we welcome the presence of God in this building. Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us. God is walking beside us. God is riding beside us. God is here today. But can I tell you that he's not only with us, but God is in us. He lives inside of you. That's so important to understand. Now, I don't know how you view yourself. No matter how, most of you in here, every single person in here, this is how God gave it to me. Every single one of us deal with things about ourselves that we don't like. I don't care how much confidence you project to me or to the person sitting on your pew. There's some stuff on the inside of you that maybe it's only between you and God that you're not too happy with. Your defeats and your failures and your insecurities, your addictions, those things, those habits that you're trying to put down. There's something, and most of us has a list pretty long, so I don't know how you view yourself when it is just you and your pillow at night, but here's what I want you to view yourself as, is that you have a conqueror in there. All of those insecurities, all of those defeated thoughts, all of those problems, all of those whatever you're come to your mind when I said that, it's sharing space with Jesus Christ. And if Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave, that means he's overcome that stuff that's floating around in your mind and your spirit right now. Now, that there's three different parts of the Bible that talks about Jesus overcoming death, hell, and the grave. You understand Jesus overcame death when he walked out of the grave. He overcame hell. He went to hell, smacked the devil right in the mouth, took the keys of the kingdom back and the keys of death back, all of that stuff, that's good teaching. What does, or the grave, what does when he overcome hell, what does that mean? Well, when Jesus, weekend before last, before I left, we talked about Peter standing on a road with Jesus, confessing him to be the Christ. What did Jesus say to him? It's upon this confession of your faith that I'm going to build my church upon. What was the very next statement out of Jesus' mouth? Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Remember, Jesus wasn't talking about the institution of the church, the buildings and the campus and the signs and denominations. Then he was talking about a movement made up of people just like you and I. There's a conqueror living inside of you that came, that conquered, overcame all of the tricks of hell, all of the lies of the enemy. Man, that's, let that conqueror rise up in you. You don't have to beg. You don't have to plead. Just let the conqueror that is in you, let that hyper-victorious person of Jesus Christ in you, give him room to operate, church. And your life will change. You'll finally be able to overcome all of that junk you've been dealing with. Romans 8:11 says this, and the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, just want to prove it out scripturally, is living, not beside you, but in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also, what? Give life, not just to your spirit man, not just to the person sitting next to you on the pew, will give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit, and he says it a second time, who lives in you. So there's a conqueror that's not just walking beside you, folks, but he actually took up residence in you, and he has already overcome death, hell, and the grave. So, there's a conqueror in you, number two. Since there's a conqueror in you, and this is like really 1A, but we'll call it number two. Since that conqueror is in you, there's hope inside of you. Hope resident, 24/7, inside of you. Paul wrote to the church at Colossians. He said, to them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles, get this, the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's a conqueror in you. That conqueror is a mystery of God that can be summed up in these words, the hope of glory. That word glory, anytime you see it in the New Testament, it is giving you an Old Testament picture of who God is. In the New Testament, the word glory, anytime you see it, it's always the same meaning. Means that God wants to do so much through you that it causes other people to take notice of how good God is. I've told you this before, and I want you to grasp that. Because we walk around thinking, man, we don't deserve God doing anything in us. And that's just that old condemning, ugly spirit of the devil. Jesus wants to do something in you because his grace is so good. He wants to show up in your life and do. He wants to set you so. He wants to make you so hyper victorious that the world takes notice that you can't do this on your own. That it had to be God. But that any time the Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, anytime Paul, anytime James mentions that word glory in the New Testament scripture, it makes reference to the picture that they wanted you to see was that Old Testament glory, which that word is pretty cool, and it simply means a heaviness of God. But what it's pointing to is all of those crazy Old Testament miracles that we've seen God do. We talked about this in our series hashtag Jesus on Wednesday nights, but let me tell you what that is. That means the hope of glory that lives inside of you is not just Jesus that went to the cross. That's enough. It's making reference to the guy that parted the Red Sea, the one that backed up the River Jordan, the one that manifested himself in a pillar of fire by day or a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. He's the one that made the axe head come to pop up for the prophet. The Old Testament hope of glory lives inside of you. I want you to grasp that. If we get this, here's how it's going to change our church services. We're not going to have to beg for a manifestation of God's presence in this room, because the manifestation of God's presence will come out of you. So there is hope living inside of you. John, 1 John 4, for you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them people that are tormenting you in the world. Because the one who lives in you is greater than the one who lives in the world. Number one, there was a conqueror in you. There's hope in you. There's a call for you. When this conqueror comes into your life, he called you to a different way of living. He wants you to come out from among the world. And, you know, I don't mean that just in the way we normally think about it. Come out and don't live like they do. Quit going to all the places that they go. Be ye a do all that. There's a right way to live. Live a victorious life, not a defeated life. The world is defeated and you don't have to be. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, chapter 6, verse 17, to be up there. Let me read 16 for you. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them, walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Verse 17 on the screen. Therefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. You don't have to live like them. I'm not talking about religious junk and legalism. It ain't about how you look on the outside. It's all about what God's done on the inside of you. Come out and be separate. Do people know that you are a Christ follower? Now, I know this is not the youth group back here or up here. I understand that. But as an adult, as I'm 48 years old, 47, 48, somewhere through there, 48 years old, do people know that I'm a Christian? Do they know that Jesus lives inside of me? There's a call going out to God's people to come out from among the world and be separate. 2 Corinthians 7:1 follows up on this thought. Paul wrote, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything or make a clean break from everything that contaminates the body and the spirit, perfecting holiness out of the reverence for God. Romans 6:12. Therefore, do not let sin reign. That means don't just let sin and all these missing the mark thoughts have control in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Don't offer any part of yourself as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. I'm no longer dead, I'm living. Now y'all look at this, well, that's a no-brainer. You're standing on the platform and you're breathing. You're breathing loud enough to get on your wife's nerves. But no, that's not what it's saying. I mean, I'm really living. I'm living. I'm having fun in life. I'll tell you what, it's hard being away from Tarina for these long lengths of time. It's hard when I get a phone call and saying, Brother Brock's not doing well. I mean, some stuff in life is hard. But can I tell you what, I'm pretty generally a happy person. And I grew up very unhappy. Y'all want to, and I've told you this before, I grew up in a very negative atmosphere and setting. I can complain with the absolute best of them. I'm the best complainer in this room, I promise you, because I've had all kinds of practice, and it is bred into me. I could call my mama, and I love my mama right now, but my mama, she's saved and on her way to heaven, a godly woman. But first thing I hear is, Mom, how you doing? Oh, I've got a headache. Oh, my head's just hurting. I'm like, Mama, I'm sick and tired. I'm tired of be happy. I was moved from death to life in Jesus' name. Is it all unicorns and rainbows in my life? Of course not, it's not. But I tell you what, I'm alive in Jesus Christ. And I haven't lived up to even my full potential yet, but I know that Jesus in me has overcome headaches. He's overcome stress about bills and papaws being on hospice care. You can live today through Jesus Christ that is in you. Verse 14, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you're not under the law, but you are under grace. You're no longer under. And for those of us, that's a key right there. For me, preaching to a bunch of saved people today. Because, well, I know a conqueror lives inside of me. I know everything you're saying. You haven't said anything to me yet, preacher, that has caused me to have an aha moment. Sin don't have to be your master. And if it is as a Christian, it's because you've tried to do everything on your own. Just cleaning up the outside and not letting the conqueror rise up in you. I don't care how long you've been in church. The devil, if he can't convince you to give up Jesus, he's going to convince you to let Jesus change you from the outside to the inside, and you're always going to be miserable. The devil's the one's going to tell you to get your hair cut and take your earrings out and all of this bondage and baggage and all that type of stuff. And I'm not getting legalistic on you. Hang on just a minute. Jesus, through the grace of God, will change you from the inside, and all of this outside stuff's going to take care of itself. Will take care of itself. You're not under just trying to make these decisions on the outside, but Jesus Christ, the conqueror who lives inside of you, the grace of God will change you. The next one, and this is the last point, and I'm going to give you some stuff to explain this. There is a conqueror in you. There's a call for you. So there is a commitment required of you. There's a commitment. You know, that word commitment, that's an ugly word to most folks. We live in a culture. I mean, you can be committed to the lottery, but you can't be committed to anything else. Okay? There's a commitment that is required of you. And this has been the big point throughout the whole 30 25 minutes or so far. There's a conqueror in you. There's that call for you. But as you know, that doesn't just automatically bring victory into your life. Just don't. Now the power of God does. But we've got too many defeated Christians on their way to heaven, but never going to live a victorious life here. Too many people not having victory over their strongholds and the hang-ups and desires that keep us from living that significant life that Jesus wants. If you want to understand the power of the conqueror in you, I'll give you some real practical steps. Unashamedly identify with Jesus. Don't live it halfway anymore. Just don't go through the motions. But unashamedly, don't be conceited and loud and ugly, but don't be bashful and backward anymore about your relationship with Jesus out in this world. Good way to start. Go to your restaurant today. If you've never done it before, just look at your waiter, your waitress, and say, I love Jesus. Jesus loves me. I love Jesus. Again, I know children's church is in the back, but some of you, as old as you are, that ain't a good thing to say. Some of you still get intimidated by sharing your faith and just, I understand. Even me, the pastor, I understand. But unashamedly, make the world know that you have a relationship with Jesus. And here's the importance of that. Matthew 16:25. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. Whoever will just identify totally with me, surrender their status and stature and position in the world for me, may think you're losing something, but you're really not. That's when you will gain life. Matter of fact, Jesus said it in a little bit more harsher of a way in 10:32 of Matthew. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge them before my Father in heaven. So many times our lifestyle speaks a whole lot more than our words. Identify with Jesus. Next one I wanted you to get. The Lord spoke into me. Learn all of God's truth that you can. We've been given God's word. This Bible is a supernatural gift from God to believers. Get you a translation that you can understand. Not everybody in here is a New King James person or a King James person. That's okay. Go get you an NIV. Go get you a New Living Translation. Go get you something that you can understand and learn all of God's truth that you can. That's one reason that church attendance is so important. You ain't going to get everything you need to know in an hour on Sunday, in an hour on Wednesday, but get plugged in so we can learn God's word. Jesus said in John 8:31, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said this, if you hold to my teaching, to my word, you are then really my disciples. That disciple means student. We covered that 2 or 3 weeks ago. And once you become my disciples, verse 32, that's when you're going to know the truth and you will be set free. Man, we want to live and not be committed and then come in here and have the pastor pray over you and cast devils out of you. That ain't going to happen, folks. That's not how it works. Get all of God's truth in you that you can. Surround yourself with the right people. Surround yourself with good people. Be careful. The Bible teaches us that there's a wide path that leads to destruction, and a narrow path that leads to what? Not to heaven, leads to life. There's a whole lot of folks out there that's on that wide path. They want you to go down that path with them. Hang out with people that's going to do you some good and speak life into you. Again, I've said this, it's the fourth time I've said this now. This is a sermon that would go over good back there in children's church or in youth on Wednesday nights. But some of the scoundrels that you face at work and every day, you need to just cut them out of your life. Go ahead and let them be your customers. The wealth of the wicked's laid up for the righteous. Take their money. But you don't have to be in covenant with them if they're driving you away from the Lord. Galatians 6:1. Dear brothers and sisters, if any believer is overcome, and this is our relationship with each other, overcome with some sin, you are godly and gentle, humbly help them back into the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptations yourself, but share each other's burdens. And in this way, you obey the law of Jesus Christ. So surround yourself with the right people and, man, just practice. Live like you know how to live. Is that some good advice right there? Is that just practical advice? Don't overthink it. Just live how you know to live. Learn all the truth that you can and then practice that truth that you learn. James 1:22 said, but doers of the word and not hearers only. If you're hearers only, then you just deceive yourself. And my last thing, just don't give up. You don't get it all today, don't give up. You don't get full deliverance today, just don't give up. You walk out of here and that habit wants to jump back on you, don't give up. Just keep going with Jesus Christ. Never give up. I think it was Sunday night. Tareen and I, you can go ahead and start playing. I actually preached up in Kentucky last week and at the church up there, and had just a busy week. Birthday parties and anniversaries. Then we went to see Papa Brock in the hospital. Again, if you don't, refresh your memory, 91 years old, pastor to church, not just in the ministry, but pastor to church for 60 years. That blows my mind that somebody could pastor that long without going nuts. But just playing. Levity. Trina and I, you know, we got the call several days before that, man, he ain't going to live long. This is it. And Trina and I walked into the hospital room, and first of all, we couldn't get into the room because there were so many people there to visit, and we're thinking, man, we're family. Y'all got to leave. They finally left, and we went in to spend some time with Papaw. Saturday, night before, we get a call saying he ain't going to make it through the night. He's gone, folks. We walked into that room and that joker was sitting up in a chair preaching. 91 years old. Had some of his church folks that he used to pastor come in. They was just talking to him and loving on him and saying, Brother Brock, we sure miss you around the church. And he looked at them and as deadpan and serious as he could, he said, when I get out of this place, will you let me come back and be your pastor? Now, I don't know. I told you, he's took a turn for the worst again. And I tell that story to say, he ain't giving up. He ain't giving up. And when he asked that question, his daughters shot those eyes at the people so they knew to be careful there and tread lightly. Because he'll live to be about 120 if he's pastoring. But I thought, man, give me the courage to be on hospice care and to say that if you bring me out of this, Lord, I'm still going to pastor for you. If you bring me out of this, Lord, I'm still going to live life. Never give up, church.